Can I blame the guest preacher for that? I can't get to it. I'll have to get to it later. Oh, I'm on now. There we go. Grace Notes had an error. Don't follow the Grace Notes for Table Talk. Table Talk is at Thirsty Barrel, not at Grass Valley. So that is tomorrow night. But see, we know somebody reads the Grace Notes. So that's good. Please take. That pretty much covers it, I think, as we begin this new year that is laid before us. Let us rise for the processional. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. They then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel of the Lord. Oh, in the name of Jesus, amen. Not everything is as it seems this Epiphany. You know the narrative, the songs, and the story. Three kings from the Orient, wise men, seers of awesome intelligence, bearing gifts of weighty theological and symbolic import. Or were they? What if they were just some random dudes on a road trip? It's not so far-fetched. Later in St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus says, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the understanding and have revealed them to little children." And so it is with the Lord God and his revelation of his truth to you. Because so often people think they have it all figured out, that they have tamed Yahweh Sabaoth, that they know exactly what the Almighty is up to. And every single time he flips those expectations, leaving you scratching your heads. So what's the point of the Epiphany of our Lord? It's to remind you that you are God's chosen child, that the Son of God was made man, born of the Virgin Mary, as we will sing a bit later, to be a light, to reveal Christ to the nations and the glory of his people Israel. But he wasn't revealed spectacularly, was he? Well, there was the angelic army that came to the shepherds, but who's going to believe those guys? Carrying on about angels appearing in the middle of nowhere to proclaim the birth of the Messiah? Because they're probably just a bunch of drunks. That's the class of people that that job attracts. So how did Jerusalem find out that the Christ had been born? Did the shepherds parade into the temple? Did the chief priest reveal the news? What about the scribes? No, they were all clueless. Even having the Holy Scriptures before them night and day, meditating on the holy and living word of the one true God all their working hours, these holy men were caught flat-footed at the birth of the Christ. Because some foreign astrologers show up at the palace in Jerusalem and ask to see the newborn king of the Jews that they may pay him reverence. Not worship, but reverent obeisance. They've requested a royal audience with this newborn king. Now, can you imagine the seething rage that Herod is hiding? How the fury simmers just beneath the surface. He has killed so many pretenders and imagined pretenders to his throne already, and these foreigners wander into his palace and ask to see the heir to his throne. Are you kidding me? How the scribes and the priests and the teachers of the law must have scrambled in that moment to be shown up by a bunch of magicians like that. And that's who the Eastern visitors were. They weren't royal kings. They were not what we would call wise sages. They're astrologers. They're the kind of guys that shop at the Cult of Gemini downtown. The ancient version of Miss Cleo, if you remember her. But they had seen this significant sign in the skies, and they wanted to see what it all meant. And the signs pointed to a royal birth. So, of course, they head to the capital city, and they seek a king. Not the king. A king. The one born king of the Jews. But did you catch it earlier? They seek the one born king of the Jews. But Herod calls in the chief priests and the scribes, and he calls them on the carpet to ask them where the Christ was to be born. As infuriated as he was, Herod knew it wasn't a king that they were really looking for. It was the Christ. It was the Messiah. It was the Savior of the people. Now, a pretender to the throne is one thing. A Messiah is something else entirely. That is dangerous. That birth is a real threat. And all of the collective brain power of Jerusalem's educational and professional elite has missed it completely. They had no idea what was happening right under their noses, and Herod is outraged. And that's why all of Jerusalem was troubled too. The word had gotten out, and even the man on the street knew that Herod was not going to be happy that there may be a usurper to the throne, because that meant bloodshed, and no one wanted that. But what kind of bloodshed would it be? How many would die in the search for this one child? And whose blood would stain the ground in the end? So, hats in hand, the chief priests and the scribes come to Herod after searching the scriptures, and they say, "Bethlehem. Bethlehem is where you'll find him." And then Herod, true to form, plays it like a snake. He sends the Magi on ahead like a recon team. Find the child so that I can come and worship him too. And this is how Jerusalem learns that the Messiah has come, that the Christ has been born. Because a bunch of foreigners, Gentiles, they come and seek after this significant birth, and the palace gossip seeps out into the streets, whispered around dark corners in fear. And so God our Father confounds the wisdom of the wise. He hides his almighty presence in the child of a nobody from Nazareth, born in a backwater town that nobody really cares about. The eternal Son of God, the Word that spoke from the darkened void of the pre-creation universe, the way and the truth and the life, bursts into our broken world, hidden from all of the important people. Malign shepherds hear the voice of the angels singing his praise. Magicians from afar draw near the holy city to seek out this one whom even the stars of the heavens acknowledge. And they bring gifts and offerings that not even a king needs a gift receipt for. And you scratch your heads, wondering why you've never heard this text explained that way before. It's because you think you have it all figured out. You think you know how it goes. You think you can put your brain on autopilot and just coast all the way to Easter Sunday because you've heard it all before. But have you? I mean, yeah, you know the basics. You know the outline. But do you understand it? Have you internalized what all of this means for you? The takeaway with the visit of the Magi on Epiphany is that it is the Lord God Almighty who reveals himself to you. And you seek after that what you think you need, while God our Father reveals to you what you actually need. In ignorance, sinners stumble around in this dark world looking for the light, while God our Father sends the light that the darkness cannot overcome, cannot comprehend. Sinners strive after what they think God wants, what they think will propel them to prominence, what will make God notice them. And all along, God the Father has been quietly working through the Virgin, through the nondescript Jesus, through his red word, through the plain water, through the flaky bread and the generic wine to save you. Almighty God, the King of the universe, confounds all of your expectations for a glory-filled experience by hiding himself in a fragile toddler that unbelievers from afar mistake as a great king of this world. Almighty God hides his most powerful weapon, his sin-demolishing, death-killing, Satan-destroying Son in the fragile flesh of this world, that he might be the sacrifice that quenches the raging fire of God's wrath over sin. That the blood of this child, Jesus, first shed on the eighth day in his circumcision, then poured out upon the altar of his cross and soaking into the ground of Adam's grave, would drown the work of Satan, would drown your sin, and would wash you whiter than snow. That his blood would slake your thirst for righteousness when it touches your tongue that comes to adore him, Christ the Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.